be my own man, sustain my own crops, maintain my own plot.
Greetings, family. My name is Brother Kima.
My name is Mark White.
And we want to welcome you to the Riddall Masterclass series, a series of lectures, of online podcasts to share information with the community about health, wellness, diet, and environment.
We're simply seeking to inspire our community to reach higher and to do better for ourselves, to go beyond where we've been before, to create the type of community that we would like to see as opposed to the type that's being imposed upon us. Let's be masters, let's ascend, and get to a better place. Peace.
Dr. A. Moria McClurkin is a successful entrepreneur, teacher, seer, life guide, mentor, and author. He has written several issue-driven fiction and nonfiction books that speak to matters of mind and soul. Deeply committed to serving as a positive change agent in society, he has invested his life in the pursuit of personal and social transformation. He has also spent years as a teacher and speaker addressing topics on business building, personal transformation and growth, physical and emotional wellness, and positive living. He holds a doctorate in business with a specific interest in entrepreneurship. He is currently president, CEO, and co-owner of Southland Care Coordination Partners, a C corporation specializing in providing population health management services to managed care organizations in Illinois. He is also an empowerment specialist, helping clients to break free of limitations and pursue their dreams and passions. Welcome, Dr. A. Moriel McClurkin, to Cleveland and to the Riddall Masterclass Series.
Thank you, Kim. Glad to be here.
Welcome. So first off, I want to understand a little more about your book.
Oh, yeah, great. I wrote Triumphant, The Journey to Healthy Manhood as a part of an overall series, but I wanted to start with men. Because of my experience growing up in public housing in the urban communities and seeing men being victimized and becoming victimizers and realizing that men need help now to address some of the mental and emotional struggles that they're having. And so I wanted to write from the context of my own life as a male and then my experience with all of my male friends and what I've seen happen to a lot of them.
Okay, so why is this discussion so important? And tell us a little more detail around when you started this journey and why is it so important to you?
It's an easy lead-in. If we heard today that there was a shooting and 10 people were shot or 50 people were shot or 3 people were shot, there's a lot we wouldn't know. We probably wouldn't know the name. We probably wouldn't know the age. We probably wouldn't know the ethnicity. But one thing we would know, the gender. Because 99% of the time, it's going to be a man. And when you look at the violence that's going on in our society around males, what's happening in the homes around males and the kind of abuse and brutality that women are experiencing, if you look at the Me Too movement, which has been a movement about males not knowing how to really relate to women in terms of sexual wellness, sexual health, and taking advantage of women sexually, abusing women, harassing women sexually. When you look at that whole picture of men, if you talk about the violence that happens in Chicago, my city, every weekend where, you know, you have 70 shootings, mostly male-to-male violence, whether it's black male-to-black male violence, or if you talk about a lot of the issues around all of this growing racism in America, you're talking about white males. So, you know, if you look at it, you can see men are struggling. They're struggling to find a way to live that's healthy. you know, healthy, which means that they can relate to people in a healthy way, not using violence to address issues that they may be struggling with. So it's easy to see. A lot of times we don't always know what we're seeing. We don't know, you know, we talk about the gun side of violence, but we don't always talk about the male mental health side of violence. And so just, or, you know, we talk about the power side of the Me Too movement, men being in power and trying to use that power over against women. But we don't look at it as a mental health issue.
So what, when you think about this, or as you're working on this particular topic, what do you feel are some root causes that you've found as you dig into the psyche of the male? Or?
Yeah, I start out my book talking about the male paradigm. You know, I always like to talk about, you know, the world, the way you see the world is the world that you live. And I often talk to my kids about windows. So I say, okay, go to the back window, and I'm going to go to the front window that faced the street. And then a car would drive by, and I would say, do you see that car just went by? And they would say, no. And I say, of course you can't, because the window you're looking out of will not allow you to see what I see. So when you talk about the way manhood is defined, men have to be in control. Men don't cry. Men don't have a pain. If my little boy fall down and bruise his knee, he's not going to get the same kind of compassion if a girl fell down. We're going to tell him, oh, look, you know, be strong. Don't cry. So when you take that kind of paradigm of men have to be in control, men have to be powerful, men are the breadwinners, and you try to fit it into this cultural reality we're experiencing now, it's a problem for men trying to figure out who they are. Men don't even know what they're supposed to do now. Are you supposed to open the door, or you're not supposed to open the door? You may open the door, and then some woman say, you're chauvinist, I can open my own door. Mm-hmm. Or you may not open the door, and somebody say, you don't have any respect, you don't open the door. So how do you figure it out? You're supposed to be the breadwinner, but your wife is the city manager, and she's making $250,000 a year, and you're making $50,000 a year. So how are you supposed to be seen as the breadwinner? What does it mean to be a man now? Because the traditional definitions don't work. I mean, nobody's going to let you just run a house or make all the decisions because of your maleness. It has to be based on your competence. So what do you know? What you don't know? So, Kim, if you know something more than your male partner, then maybe some things he may listen to you on. But in the back of our heads is, hey, I'm a man. I'm supposed to be in control. So what happens when you don't have control, when the factory closes and you're not making any money? And so, you know, you don't feel like a man, and you have a low sense of esteem, and you're struggling with a sense of value. And what do you do with all of that? Well, men fight. So let me get a gun. Let me take that out on somebody. Because there's no, you know, rites of passage that teach boys how to be healthy men. Because we believe that you become a male when you hit 18. But you don't become a male when you hit 18. You don't become a man when you hit 18. You become an adult male. But manhood means the ability and the capacity to live a healthy, meaningful, contributing life, fulfilled life. And to be able to do that, you have to learn how to do that. So you grow. All of a sudden, your voice gets heavy, and, you know, your biology changed, and you're a man. But who's told you how to navigate? So now you can make a baby, but who's told you how to be a father? Who's shown you how to be a father? Now you can marry somebody, but who's explained to you or showed you or trained you how to be a contributing partner, an equal partner in a relationship, giving and receiving, so that there's a win-win? It doesn't happen often. So that's why I wrote the book, to begin to say, one, there's a problem. Men are experiencing a deep crisis of the soul. And we're seeing it in all the manifestations of violence. Men are leading in suicides. Men are leading in drug addictions. And all of that is saying something is wrong with the whole male psyche. And then begin to give prescriptions of what can we do as men? And how do we redefine manhood in a way that allows us to live a healthy manhood, making wiser life choices, relating to people in a positive way, being able to achieve and fulfill our life purpose. That was the whole point of it.
So highlight a few of the solutions you suggest, and also the idea around therapy and society and how we are starting to talk more about therapy for the Black community. And where do you see that fitting, but also understanding what solutions you highlighted?
There are a number of solutions. Number one, men have to define for themselves what it means to be a man. And we have to let go of some of the toxic masculinity concepts that we've had before. Men do cry. I've cried, and I've been with a lot of my friends and saw them cry. When they've lost families, lost their relationships, can't relate to their kids, don't feel loved by their kids. So we need to stop saying, you know, you're a man, you don't cry. No, you're a man, you cry, and what do? You get treatment. You get mental health support. You get counseling. Men hurt. Men are sad. Men are depressed. Men don't even like to go to doctors because they don't. So we have to engage in self-care. You know, we have to take time. If I said to you that there's a person that they got flowers around a tub, they got candles around a tub, they got soft music playing, they got incense, I say, what gender are they? You're gonna say a woman. Why? Because men don't know how to pamper themselves. Look out for their well-being, have wellness moments. So that's all a part of get counseling. Talk to somebody about what's going on with you. That's all a part of our challenge.
Great. Thank you so much for that. So what is your relationship to Riddall, and what projects are you currently working on together or will you be working on in the future?
My relationship to Riddall is that, first of all, I'm a supporter. I believe in the Riddall vision, which is holistic. You know, even though we're talking about manhood, the Riddall vision is how, you know, your relationship to the earth, to the environment, affects your mental health and well-being. And so there's been a movement to get men to put their hand in the soil, because putting your hand in the soil is mentally and emotionally therapeutic. And so I think that's been a significant strategy. I think that it needs to continue to be promoted. I think men need to get out of their office and out of wherever they are and get back into the earth and get back into the environment and be around some trees and some birds. And I think Riddall is one of the side effects of this whole urban agricultural movement is the mental health, the mental stability, the spiritual wellness that's coming from that. And that's why, you know, this whole discussion about mental health, male mental health, where does it fit with Riddall? It fits perfectly because, you know, men need to get more connected to a more natural way of living and connect back to the environment, connect back to the earth. That's going to do a lot for men. So that's a part of my prescription.
Thank you so much. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Are there any final thoughts you want to add or share?
No, I'm just happy to be able to have this opportunity to share. I think I believe that it's a new age of manhood is coming. I think that men have an important role to play. I think we can be leaders, but not leaders in a maleness sense, but leaders in a spiritual sense. I think we can show spiritual vitality, and I think people will want to benefit from whatever we've learned on a spiritual journey. So I'm encouraging men to take off their mask, stop being boys wearing the mask of men, and grow up and be real men and address the mental health and wellness of your manhood.
Thank you. So where can we get this book to start reading?
It's on Amazon. Triumphant, The Journey to Healthy Manhood. That's on Amazon. And it's in Barnes & Noble. And anywhere you buy books online, you more than likely can find it.
And where could we get in touch with you?
You can reach me on my, the information is on my website, which is www.amorielmcclerkland.com, www.amorielmcclerkland.com. But you can also, you know, reach out for Prue Riddall. They will give you my contact information.
Thank you, Dr. McClurkin, for joining us for Riddall Masterclass Series. And hopefully we could do some follow-up discussions.
Let's do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Cool.